As I told you in the course, food production also began in other areas like East Asia. It appears to have begun later, but it may have begun at about the same time, and then it also began in the Americas. The new economy spread rapidly in the old world within a few thousand years. Maize cultivation began in Central Africa, America, at least 5,000 years ago. The exact date is uncertain. It may be a little earlier and maybe a little later. And here, as in the old world, the importance of food production lies not so much in its invention as in its consequences. Permanent village settlements, much closer relationships with the land. You are anchored to this land. Much more complex social and religious institutions are concerned very often with the ancestors. And, as we found with the Cro-Magnons in Chapter 2 of this story, an intimate relationship with the spiritual and symbolic worlds. And there's the backdrop to this higher, more densely packed human populations. By the time of Christ, subsistence farming was practiced everywhere in the world where it was practicable or where there was a need for it. And don't forget that there were some societies who were well aware of farming but did not choose to take it up. And then we come to the fourth chapter, the shortest, which began about 5,000 years ago in Southwest Asia and some 3,000 years ago in the Americas. The emergence of the pre-industrial civilization, a world of divine rulers and strongly centralized governments, of teeming cities, writing, and metallurgy. This was also the period when some lasting human conditions of today came into being. Chronic social inequality, rural and urban poverty, endemic warfare, despotism, and slavery, to mention only a few. In a real sense, we live with the legacy of the pre-industrial world, and we still grapple with the same fundamental economic, political, and other social problems as did our remote predecessors. And this prehistory, this last chapter of prehistory, ended with the Spanish entrada into the Americas. Four chapters, 2.5 million years of time. This sheer length and diversity of history means that prehistory is no intellectual curiosity to be studied by archaeologists alone, or merely to be the subject of museum displays of spectacular artifacts. All too often, it's been ignored. It's been considered as a sort of sideline or irrelevant backdrop to the history of more recent times. This, of course, is sheer nonsense. The story of humanity before writing is vital. Its engaging importance is to all of us. You see, human prehistory is the story not of the Americans or the British or the French or the South Africans or the Polynesian Islanders. It is the story of humanity as a whole, wherever we live and however we live. Until recently, it's really not been possible to tell this story, because archaeological investigations are still in their infancy in many parts of the world. And until the late 1950s, we lacked dating methods which enabled us to date not only when things happened, but how fast they happened and when they happened in different, widely separated parts of the world. But today, we can no longer ignore prehistory as part of our history. We have at our fingertips a compelling chronicle, not only of our ultimate origins among the apes, but even more importantly, of the remarkable biological and cultural diversity of humankind. Prehistory reminds us not that we're different from one another, but that we are all so similar to one another. After all, we all come from a common African origin, perhaps as recently as 100,000 years ago. Prehistory is a celebration of human diversity.